The following program contains strong language, sexual situations, and alcohol abuse. So, if you're easily offended, you may wish to consider listening to anything but Slater's podcast. Viewer discretion advised.
Everybody, I like that. That can be our nice intro to Shotcast from now on. Maybe I'll make a little intro collage video situation at one point. Who knows? You know, I'm a busy gal. So busy that I actually have a guest today. Do you want to introduce yourself? Yeah? Okay. It's me. It's me, bitches. I am the guest today. I'm doing a solo Shotcast. I feel like Tim Dillon, just without all the weight. I'm doing this podcast alone today because everyone sucks. No, I actually had some really great people lined up, but, you know, comedians and their schedules, it can be a fickle bitch sometimes. And, you know, the people have been asking, where's the final episode of season two?
She's never coming back.
And by fans, I mean some actual ones and my mom, mostly. So we're here. We're doing this for Anastasia. All right. That's my mom's name. I don't know why. She was named after a Russian princess. We are Italian and Irish, so it makes absolutely no sense. But here we are. So what I'm drinking today, since I didn't want to do shots by myself because I felt like, you know, I could talk alone, but I can't really drink alone.
Lies.
On the level that we drink at Shotcast, which is a shot every 15 minutes for the hour, four shots for the whole session, one shot off camera in the beginning, so behind the scenes secret, and then sometimes we drink after and we go to a bar and things get crazy. And I don't want to put myself in that position. So I am drinking Talia, I believe it is pronounced, Main Squeeze. It's a grapefruit IPA. I just had a sip of it. I'll have a sip of it again in case you don't believe me. Yeah, that is a grapefruit IPA if I ever tasted one. It's actually pretty good. So on the schedule, I suppose, I could say, for today, I actually made one. Usually I just keep it flexible and let the guest kind of drive the conversation. But since it's just a girl here, I put on my Instagram the other day on my story, Ask Me Anything. And I actually did get quite a few questions. So I do have them on my phone here. So excuse me when I look down. I'm just reading your wonderful questions. I didn't pick all of them because, one, there was a lot. And, two, there were some incriminating things from people I am friends with in the real world. And didn't want to divulge on too much. But I did pick some from people that I knew and then some fans and people I didn't know at all that asked some rude questions.
Rude!
That I'll fucking answer anyway because I don't give a shit. Maybe I'll have a sip before a question and then when I answer it, I'll have a sip after just to, you know, have some sort of structure here while I can drink and answer these truthfully. This is basically truth serum, if you think about it. Oh, that's good. That's smooth. I actually really enjoy this Main Squeeze. Good job. Talia, sponsor, let me know. I also have Zins here because that's my other best friend. I know it's bad, and it even says, warning, this product contains nicotine. Nicotine is an addictive chemical. Who would have thought? I didn't know that. Rick didn't either, based on that grunt. It's all coming together. Would you look at that? All right. So I suppose we'll dive in to our questions. I'll start with some more surface level ones and then get to the nitty gritty later. So we have something to look forward to. How about that, folks? Okay. I feel like this is like late night show host, like Johnny Carson before his guests come out, and he's just like reading from the teleprompter, except I don't have one. Okay. This is straight from the dome piece. And I'm actually having a great time already. So, all right. First question, dream drink rotation. What is my dream drink rotation? Without consequences? Because that's kind of an important element of this. I'm going to assume you're saying without consequences, because there's that whole thing where it's like, what is it? Liquor before beer, you're in the clear. Beer before liquor, never been sicker. Either way, it's bullshit. That is not true. I have mixed and matched my whole life, and I got sick every time. So I'm calling some false news on that. Yeah, not fake news, false news. I'm going to start a new trend of that's the slogan, all right?
Write that down.
Train drink rotation. Okay. Beer, then. No, I think I'm a gin and tonic gal. Some of you guys know that already. I think, so gin and tonic has to be in the rotation. I'm not sure what order, but I also love a mojito, and I do like a spicy marg. I enjoy that salt on the rim. I enjoy a nice cayenne pepper rim job, if you will. And now that like summer is vastly approaching, hence maybe some sweat you could see if you're just listening, I'm glistening. But I think spicy marg, G&T somewhere in there, the mojito. I like Negronis. This is just an AA meeting at this point. That hangover would be tremendous. But you know, I'm willing to lay my body down on the line. Okay. I hope that answered your question. Next question, next caller, please. We have fuck, marry, kill, which honestly is one of my favorite questions or scenarios to ever be asked. So thank you for this. Fuck, marry, kill is the best. Actually, I'm pretty sure that I got laid off from my day job. That happened like a month ago. So I'm full-time comedy, baby. Let's go. Let's rip it. I have no other choice. I'm not going back to the real world. I hate that. But I think I might have gotten fired / laid off because they had me in charge of interviewing because we, like, had no HR. Like, HR somehow ceased to exist in this company I worked for like 6 years. We had some people come in for a little bit here and there, but no one that really stayed on board, which is really scary and probably should have been a red flag for me that I was on the Titanic and I should have just jumped ship. But I didn't. I stayed until they kicked me off on a lifeboat, or rather, I guess, a drift of wood. Driftwood. And I think they might have done it because when I was playing HR, super non-qualified, as I'm sure you could guess, I had Zoom interviews because we were remote from COVID and then we remained remote. And when I was interviewing people, I would end it with not fuck, marry, kill, but like hook up for life. Leave alone. I think that might have been part of my demise.
Oh shit, Sherlock.
I also had to fire people in this HR weird position that they threw me in, and I had a really awkward experience where I had to fire somebody and their Wi-Fi connection kept going out, so I had to fire them not once but thrice times, and it was so awkward because he would come back and be like, I'm sorry, what was that? And I'm like, we have to let you go. And then he was like, sorry, I have really bad connection, what were you saying? And I was like, we're sorry, but we must part ways. And he's like, hang on 1 second, comes back a couple minutes later, and I'm like, it's you're gone, no one wants you here anymore, okay, it's over for you. So I'm starting to think that maybe that is why I was kicked to the curb. But anywho, back to the fuck, marry, kill question here, full circle. Pedro Pascal, that's already hard. That's because I, well, I guess if I marry him, I'm going to fuck him for the rest of my life, right? Pedro Pascal, Levi Ackerman, who, for those who probably don't know, I'm assuming a lot of you don't, he's from Attack on Titan. Which is an anime series. It's actually really good. I got sucked into it because of the Secret Identity podcast, plug, that I'm also on with Brent Birnbaum and Troy Bond and Will Diamond, who is our awesome producer for that. We just actually recorded a podcast for that before I came here, so that'll be out soon.
Really?
But I digress. Levi Ackerman and Ryan Gosling. That's a triple threat. I want all of them. I want to marry all of them and fuck all of them. Okay, shit. This is hard. Let me have a sip. As the Jeopardy music plays. Okay. Honestly, marry Pedro. Hands down, he's my daddy for life. Ryan Gosling is great. I'm also thinking of like all the different versions of Ryan Gosling because I don't know about you guys, but excuse me, that's the Zen talking. I don't know about you guys, but Ryan Gosling nowadays, he looks a little different. I know in Barbie he was supposed to be Ken, so maybe that was like part of the overall vibe that they were trying to give. But like his cheeks are like way puffier or like bigger, and I don't really understand why, and I don't get why anyone would purposely like inject more cheek fat at that age, because you look good with the slender look. I feel like he took Margot Robbie's cheek fat and then put it in his, because she's looking and he's looking, you know, it's like a little blowfish. I mean, he's still hot as fuck. I'm not gonna kill him for it, so I guess I'll fuck him and then kill Levi Ackerman, mainly because Levi is an anime character, so, and he killed a lot of people in Attack on Titan. He did some questionable things. I don't know how I feel about his character, as in morale, his character in general, loved it. But I feel less guilty killing off a cartoon rather than a real person. And if I fuck Ryan Gosling, I'll just think of him as the version he was in The Notebook.
I want all of you forever.
Or I could also ask him after, when we're laying there, you know, what's up with your face? And then I could get the answer and feel complete in that aspect of my life. All right, cheers to that, because I forgot to drink after the last one. So we're going to sip it up. If you're at home listening to this, or even if you're driving, you know, it's fine to have a little sippy poo while you're behind the wheel. It's okay.
And they both drove their cars off of cliff?
I'm not supporting drunk driving, okay? And surprisingly, I don't have a DUI, okay? Because I don't get caught. But I don't drive in the city, so it's a win-win for me. I just subway home hammered. It's great. I blend in with all the homeless, and I feel really at one with New York when those moments happen. So it's honestly a great way to live. Okay, question number three. Have you ever been told you look like someone famous? And if so, who was it? Yes, I actually have. Okay, and Rick, based on a soundboard noise or just, you know, a nod if you want. Multiple people have said that I remind them of Shailene Woodley. She's the one who's in like Fault of Our Stars and Divergent. I don't know what else she's in. She's in a lot of stuff though. And I kind of see it. You know, when people are like, oh, you look like so-and-so, and you're like, nah, it doesn't really look like me. It's even worse when someone says you look like so-and-so and that so-and-so is like Harvey Weinstein, you know, like you don't want to look, number one, unattractive, and number two, like a predator. So that's a double whammy with my Harvey example. But it's the worst when someone says you look like someone and they're just like gross and you're like, I don't see it. And they're like, oh my gosh, I really do. I do a lot. That's you. Are you looking up Shailene Woodley over there? Yeah, you are. Rook's looking up. He's fact-checking my face. And I don't know. I kind of see it. It's not a diss. I mean, obviously, I would really like to look like Keira Knightley instead. But I'll take Shailene Woodley. I mean, she had some major chemistry with Theo James in the Divergent series. And he's hot as fuck. So that should have been the fuck, marry, kill. I love Theo James. He is great. I think he's very underrated as well. I mean, he's obviously gorgeous, but he's talented as well, okay? That's a double threat. That's what we'd like to call a DT.
I don't want to be just one thing.
No one says I look like anyone else. But weirdly enough, a lot of people, like, on the street or at the, you know, cafe when I get my coffee, whatever, a lot of people are like, hey, oh my God, you look just like someone I know, or you look like my brother's girlfriend, or you look like that. And I'm like, dude, is there a doppelganger crew of me that's running around on the streets? People on the street, and they look like me. I don't know why. It's really weird. It happens, honestly, probably once every 2 weeks, like for the last 6 years of my life. In the city, at home, when I'm upstate, it's very weird. And I even had my latest run into situation like this was at a gas station when I was like making a long drive. And I stopped and ran in there quick, probably to get a beer, let's be real. And I got up to the register, and the cashier was like, oh my gosh. And I was like, what? And I was like, is there something in my teeth? And she was like, you look just like my coworker's roommate. And I was like, what? And they're like, get over here. And the guy came over, and he was like, holy shit, you look just like her. And I'm like, oh, okay. Like, is she cool? Like, is she at least repping the face well with the personality? Like, or is she, you know, becoming a detriment to me and people are going to think I'm an asshole? So that was a really weird situation at like a random gas stop in the middle of nowhere. But it's funny because I'm just like, how many me's are walking around? I got to talk to my parents and see if they did some weird ass cloning shit when that was like cool back in the early 2000s. Remember that sheep that kept getting cloned? That was like our trial run.
I was supposed to tell anyone that.
On to the next question. Ooh, Rick. You're asked about in this question, not by name, but it says, who books this? Technically, I book it, but it is our great producer, Rick, Slick Rick, in the corner, who's camera shy, which is ironic and adorable, I will add. But he, Rick's our guy. Rick's our guy, and fate would have it. And now I've been... we were just talking about this semi-recently. I've been doing the Shotcast, recording it here for over a year now, which is crazy town. I used to do it in my apartment, and then I was like, why am I having all these random people in my apartment and then essentially roofing them and myself? And then we're just in my living room hammered on a random, like, Tuesday. I was like, not a safe move, Slater. Let's run it back. Let's think about who you're giving your address to. Because some guests I know and are my buddies from the comedy scene, and other people I've only met once, and then some people I never met in person and were just like Instagram friends or something weird like that. And I ask them to come on, and usually they're cool about it. So I'm like, maybe I don't want these random men to know my address and have them be drunk in my living room with me drunk.
You want to watch SVU right now?
So yeah, then I moved it here to Rick, and now Rick has seen me drunk a lot. And based on the man a few words, he loves it. Okay, Rick, I'm glad you got a shout out. That was fun. Sip time. All right. Next question. These are going to get crazier, peeps, so just hang in. Where is your favorite place to perform? Oh, that's a nice general question. I appreciate that, Olivia. Honestly, I think in general, I would say Helium Comedy Clubs are the most fun clubs that I enjoy performing at most, mainly because they're really professional like every experience that I've had with them has been so nice. The staff is always fantastic. Like I want to hang out with them after. Sometimes I do. All right. And yeah, it's just like a very well-oiled machine. Like they know what they're doing at Helium Comedy Clubs. I've been to the Buffalo one, the Philly one, one in the Midwest, I don't remember, because that's all just a blur. Once you, like, go past Texas, before California, I don't know what's happening in there. I'm not good at geography, but that whole little, like, pocket in the Midwest, kind of weird. No offense. Great people. Had a great time. Did a lot of meth, but I would never live there. I would never. There's a lot of people that actually moved to New York City from that big stain of the country. For example, Zach Gish, he was a guest on here, and he came from Indiana, and he's a dope dude. Love that guy. Shout out, Zach. What's up? We'll see if he listens. But, yeah, Helium Comedy Club is probably my favorite place to perform. And usually their green room is, like, right, like, connected to the stage, so you don't have to, like, go through the crowd or, like, kind of peek out and, like, check and, like, go in between tables to, like, figure out what the hell's going on. It's literally just open the door, boom, come back through the door in the green room. It's, like, very, it's a nice setup. That's how it was in Philly, at least. I don't know if Buffalo was. I feel like Buffalo might have not been directly connected, but it was, like, pretty close, so you didn't have to go through the whole crowd from the back to the front, which is, can sometimes be a thing. I mean, I'm not that cool yet, but, when I go on the road with Troy, it's a problem. And he's a tall motherfucker, so he's easy to spot. All right, sip time. I feel like Michael Cera and This Is the End.
Who wants to sip? Sip time.
By the way, that is my favorite movie of all time, This Is the End. It is so great if you haven't seen it. I'm acting like it just came out in theaters. It's been out for like 10 years, maybe more. And it is the most quotable movie and the most entertaining. It's literally just a bunch of celebrities being themselves and portraying themselves. I think Jonah Hill, maybe, you know, they changed his character a bit, or maybe amplified how he really is in real life.
Weed is tight. Weed is tight. That's awesome.
It's great. I won't ruin it for you, but everyone dies at the end. So, sip. Sip time. Okay. When did you start drinking? God, I feel like this is all going to be about drinking. I wonder what gave that idea. Strange. When did I start drinking? Jesus Christ. Back in 1955. I know I look good for my age. I was a freshman in high school. So I was 14, I would say. I do remember my first drinking experience. It was Keystone. Yeah, Keystone beer. Really crushing it. I had high standards as a tween. Keystone Ice, maybe. It could have been. The blue ones I drank. I drank the red ones, too, which are absolute trash. I mean, the whole Keystone thing. Sorry, Keystone, but that's just that's a poor girl's drink. But I used to get 30 racks of that shit. Not me, myself, because I did not have a fake ID. I never had a fake ID because no one ever fucking believed me. I got that baby face syndrome, the BFS. People know about it. It's a thing. We meet every Wednesday. But I had Keystone, and we were playing beer pong. Oh, yeah. Remember those days? Those were the days. I still play beer pong sometimes. And if not, I will bring it. I will BYOBP because that's fun and I miss it. It teaches athleticism and competitiveness and confidence and shit talking at a very young age. And I honestly sport, and I hope that all the 14-year-olds listening are still playing beer pong because that was the shit. That and chat roulette. You guys remember chat roulette? That shit was wild. You would just like keep going and chatting and like you're on, I guess your mom's fucking PC. I don't even know. You had LimeWire minimized after you just burned CDs for your road trip, aka just the ride to school for your friends. They had the disc changer. You could fit all six in there and just swap them up.
Ingredients. Game changer.
But yeah, 14 is when I started drinking, and I played that beer pong game. I'm pretty sure I won against the senior boys that me and my friends were hanging out with. They might have been junior boys. I don't really know. One of them's in jail now. I'm locked up, I'm in jail, and I don't know what happened. I don't know what for. Hopefully not molestation, because I was definitely in the running, and they didn't pick me, which is bullshit. Well, cheers to that. Okay. This person's a dick, but it's hilarious. Ever think about lip injections? No, I haven't. And I never will, because this is who I am, okay? I don't do Botox. I don't do any of that shit. Although I'll probably regret that in like 5 years when I look like ass and all my friends are like shiny and neat and no wrinkles.
It's all part of natural evolution.
I don't know. I got a little mouth with big stuff to say, you know? What can I say? I do know some people, though, who have gotten the lip injections or fillers or whatever, and not looking good. It's too obvious. If you get a natural look going, I'm all for it. Like, if I can't tell, then you're doing something right. But if I can look at your face and I know that this section, fake, gotta go. Gotta go. It's not a good look. It's like, especially if you had no lips and then now you're fucking like butthole lips. We can't do that. We don't, no. And I can't afford it, dude. All right? I just told you guys, I got laid off. And, you know, I got some stock money. That's the only thing that's keeping me going. I might do an OnlyFans, honestly. I'm not opposed to it. If I can do a completely anonymous OnlyFans, which now I'm making it not as anonymous if I did it, but I wouldn't put my face in and just try and make money off that, you know? I feel like there's a lot of guys who are like, if I were a girl, I would do OnlyFans. What are you doing? That's such easy money. And then when a girl does OnlyFans, they're like, wow, like, oh my God, I was just jerking off to you before. I just, you know, whatever. I'm like, let's pick a side, boys. All right? Pick a side. You want the OnlyFans or not? That's enough to say about that. Okay. Some of these are so nice. And, like, you know, insightful. Okay, this person, how'd you get into comedy? I think I've answered this on the podcast before, so fuck you for not listening.
You are the weakest link. Goodbye.
Sip time. This is very refreshing. Okay. Has your voice always sounded like this? Like a smoker? Yeah. Yeah, it has. It has. I was actually on the playground 5 years old, like, get off the slide, Munch. That was me. Yeah, I don't know. My voice has always been a little raspy Jasper, you know? I don't know why, but I guess it's one of my defining traits because people love to bring it up. And I actually used to work at a newspaper for a little bit, and I would do the announcements on the like sound system, intercom, whatever, in the morning, because I was so fucking bored. So they're like, okay, you can do the Pledge of Allegiance. And we didn't do that, but they were just morning announcements.
Good morning, Vietnam!
And every time I would get off, people would come up and they're like, was that just you on there? And I'm like, yeah. And they're like, you should go into radio. I'm like, all right, so I have a face for radio. Thank you. Could you imagine if my voice just suddenly changed? That would be wild. All right, sip time. This is kind of fun. I feel like I'm in a little, like, bingo. Fucking, all right, next question, next caller. I could be like Howard Stern. All right, childhood celebrity crush. Huh. That's a good one. I feel like these are, like icebreaker, weird meeting conversations. Childhood celebrity crush. I don't even remember my first one. But I guess I used to watch All That a lot, which I know is a sore subject, literally, right now. Because of Quiet On Set and all the controversy. Controversy. Is this hitting already? This is embarrassing.
Amateur.
But I loved All That, and I love Kenan and Kel, and I used to be obsessed with Kel, all right? He's the one who made me drink orange soda, all All right, I never would have touched that shit if it wasn't for I do. Ooh. Loved Kel. So maybe he was my first celebrity crush. I don't know if he was like celebrity, but he was to me at that time. So I'm going to say it was him. Other than Danny Phantom on Nickelodeon, because he was hot. He's also a cartoon character. Kind of like if Timmy Turner hit puberty really fast and then like fell into Hogwarts. I feel like that's Danny Phantom. He was hot and I will never forget him. And I'm going to watch that when I get home. So you guys know what I'm doing later. Post puberty though, Keanu Reeves. And still today, Keanu Reeves. I love him. He's so cool. He's so hot. He's so nice. I'm going to text him later. We're friends. He's my number one. I love him so much. I know you didn't ask for that, but Keanu Reeves is my dude. But not to slight Pedro. We all know Pedro Pascal is my daddy. Thank you to the fan who gave me the Pedro Pascal is my daddy literal keychain, which I gotta just unveil this because I didn't say thank you publicly yet. I don't think I might have DM'd you, and guess what? I forgot my keys. So you're not going to see it, but you get it. That's what it says. It's just on a keychain and it's really great and I love it. And whenever anyone borrows my keys, they take it off because they're embarrassed. And I'm like, why the fuck would you be embarrassed by that? It's bullshit.
Right.
All right. Next cue, but I got to take a sip. Okay. Oh my God. This is from... This is from my friend Jocelyn, who is going to be just so annoying about skipping over it, so I'm going to do it. She's my friend that I went to college with. Honestly hated her up until probably last year. No, I love her. She's great, but I did hate her at first. Hate's a strong word. I strongly disliked her. Let's just leave it at that. Everyone else did, too. I'm not alone. If you know her, you know why. But she phoned in, and she said, I want you to somehow bring up the government experience, I'm assuming she's saying, and how absurd it was. Government was a club in Toronto, Canada. In case you didn't know where Toronto was, you dumbasses. Now I'm good at geography all of a sudden. Would you look at that? But since we went to Buffalo, Toronto was right there. We would go there for all of our formals when we were in a sorority. Shocker. I was in a sorority. That kind of is a shocker. I'm not a very sorority type of gal. But Buffalo was like, you either join a sorority or you join a gang. So I did both because Delta Delta actually kind of was a gang.
A sorority, Delta Nu.
So we would go to government every summer or like end of the year for our formal or whatever for the frats and sororities. And it's now rubble. So let's start there. It ceased to exist today. And I'm so glad that it does because that place was a black hole.
Hole.
One of our other friends, who I will not name because she will probably be embarrassed.
Who? What are you, fucking out?
Was drinking water out of the toilet bowl in the bathroom. And this is like a rave place, like no windows. You were there until 6 a.m. and you didn't realize because it was so dark in there. And then you walk outside and you're like, oh, like people are being humans out here. Like we're still in the real world. It was like a full blown Matrix Keanu Reeves experience. And it was, we were like 19. Because you could drink at 19 in Canada. I think that's what fueled the whole trip. And you go in there and you were just on a lot of pills, a lot of ecstasy, dancing on speakers that were probably not safe to dance on. And then there was just all these like little mafia characters hidden within the weird grease secrety corners of this place, dressed in like tuxes with like sunglasses. I'm not exaggerating. I have a lot of witnesses and people who are also victims of this, okay, that will verify. And they were like basically red or blue pill, so it kind of really was the Matrix.
Why oh why didn't I take the blue pill?
And they would just give you drugs, and we being idiots and Americans would take them. And we would roll our titties off until 6 a.m. And that's why my friend was cupping water into her mouth from the toilet because she was so thirsty. And like we couldn't get water either because we were too fucked up or there was a line or there just wasn't any water left. I could also see that happening there. So, yeah. And then one of our friends actually was like taken, like straight up Liam Neeson taken from there by some group. And we had to go on a manhunt, a woman hunt the next day to retrieve her from some crazy ass like crack house. It was wild, dude. It was wild. I've seen Nine Lives. I'm a cat. And we had to retrieve her the next day. And then when we were coming back over the border, we were all in our outfits from Government Club, aka the freaking secret FBI underground Asian mafia place. And we were all in our outfits, which were at that time bodycon dresses, sparkly things, you know, things that if the sun was out, that it would catch what you were wearing. Basically no clothing also. And we retrieved her. We saved the girl. I feel like I need to make that known because that was important. She was lost and we had then found her. And we were going back across the border and we got stopped probably because we looked like sketchy ass bitches. We looked like prostitutes actually, who got fired. So just think about how many prostitutes in life have been fired. Probably none. And we were those girls. We were the band American gross wearing a washcloth slash napkin as clothes. And we were obviously stopped at the border getting back into America because they're like, this is trash. And we're not going to let water trash back into our beautiful country. So we were stopped and we had to get out of the car. They searched the vehicle. I had Molly in my bra. And that's a drug, not a person. But I probably also had a girl in there too. And we went and we got questioned. And then I went to the bathroom and flushed it down the toilet. And thank God they didn't check their plumbing, man, because I could have been really fucked. But whatever. It was a good time. No one got hurt, but those stains will remain. That's for sure. So thank you, Jocelyn, for bringing up that trauma in our lives. But we survived. We're survivors. We should get t-shirts like that. And I don't know why they knocked it down, but I'm really glad they did because, whew. God, I can't imagine anyone going there. All right, sip time. Next question. Oh, still from Jocelyn. Also, are you on Ozempic? How are you so skinny? Fuck off.
Is butter a carb?
No, I'm not on Ozempic. I just guess I was blessed with good genes, you know? I don't know. My mom and my dad just got a good jackpot in the gene pool. I don't know. Metabolism, I don't know. It's not like I'm one of those girls who are like, I eat McDonald's every day and I just don't gain weight. Like, fuck those bitches. I do work out. I work out a lot and I do watch my diet. I really look at it hard. And I do the Peloton app. I was just telling Rick about that before. Which you don't need the bike for. Everyone, like, hears me say that. Not like I tell everyone my workout regimen. But people hear me be like, oh, you work out, you have a bike? I'm like, you think I could fit a bike in my little-ass apartment in New York City? No, I can't do that. I don't know where to put my winter coats. I literally just had to lift my bed up yesterday and shove my coats underneath it and just try and, like, knock it down and make it stick. It's bad. I got to get rid of my coats. I buy too many. Coats, shoes, and sunglasses. Those are my weaknesses. But I do the Peloton app and it's only $12 a month. I'm really shouting them out. I follow Rebecca Kennedy, I think is her name. She's great. I do a lot of her workouts, upper body, lower body. They're only like 20 or 30 minutes and I just pop one of those on my phone, do that, you know, once a day, every other day. And then I go and run or walk across the Williamsburg Bridge and back. That's pretty much it, which actually is a lot because I also live in a floor-to-floor walk-up, so that's kind of my that's my workout as well. You think I'd live there 2 years now in this apartment, and you think I would have some stamina? No. Every time I get to the door, I got to be like, and then get the keys, stop shaking, and then open my door. It's really embarrassing. It's like Mount Everest. I was thinking about maybe posting like little inspirational quotes in the stairwell on the way up just to motivate me to go up the stairs and get to my apartment, because it's rough, man. You turn that corner, like I DoorDash so much, like from places a block away, because I, one, am a lazy bitch, and two, do not want to go down and up the stairs after going out. It's so bad. And then I make the DoorDash people do it. But I tip well, so I'm not a complete asshole. But they get up there and they're pissed. Every time they get up there, they're huffing and puffing. And I'm like, whew. I was like, I know, brother. Think about living here. All right. It's not fun. So I'm moving. Moving on to the next question, that is. But first, a little sippy. Ah, God, that is good. Talia, they know what they're doing. Talia, I don't fucking know. I'm dyslexic. All right. You, Brent, and Joey, oh, someone follows Shotcast, thank you, sang a lot on this pod. What's your go-to karaoke song? Oh, Believe, Cher, every time. Every time. I don't care. I love it. I love Cher. And Believe is a great freaking song. She was the first one to do autotune, fun fact. So she beat out T-Pain, right? She, I don't know why I do the Southern accent. It's just so embarrassing. But she was the first one to play around with autotune. And then I think it might have been, I don't know who was after that, but T-Pain obviously got on that train. But he actually has a very good voice without the autotune. I don't know if you've heard his little death shit and his acapella stuff. But anyway, I don't know why I'm an advocate for T-Pain.
T-Pain, baby.
But Believe by Cher is my jam. Rick, do we have Believe by Cher on standby? You should. Do you believe in love after love? Oh, there it is. Hear it? After love, after love. That was the first little autotune. Do you believe? Oh, here it is. That was really quick, Rick. You had that. You had that ready to rock. You knew. Oh. Oh, is this the karaoke version? Sit around and wait for you, but I can't do that. There's no turning back. I feel sad you're leaving. I need time. I'm totally fucking up the lyrics. I need the words. But after all was said and done, I'm on the wrong verse. Maybe you're the only, but this is the main part. Do you believe in love after love? I sound just like her. I could feel something inside myself. I really don't think you're strong enough now. Do you believe in love after love? We're concerning all the neighbors. I could feel something inside myself. I really don't think you're strong enough, no. Woo! All right. I'm not going to go any further, you know. I don't. Thank you. Thank you, everybody. Please, enough. Take a seat. Take a seat. Oh, I'll jump to that. I'm usually a lot better, okay? I'm getting over a cold. I have a cough. It's just not the right environment, okay? I feel like Will Ferrell and Step Brothers.
My throat's sore. I've had a sore throat for a month and a half. And this is not an acoustic environment that's suitable to request this from me.
But usually I am better, okay? People at in K-Town will know. Koreatown, that's where all the best karaoke is, I'll tell you what. All right. We only have 4 questions left, so don't worry, Rick. This is almost over. Ooh, this is a fun one. Have you ever broken the law? Yes, many times. Many times. Who hasn't? Who hasn't broken the law? You know, the question should be, have you ever been caught? Have you ever been caught? And you know what? The answer is yes. Yes, I have. One time. One time. And I was arrested, actually, for that one time. So, good times. I don't know if I talked about this on the pod ever. I feel like it probably came up at one point in the last year, but long story, not short. I got I broke into a Six Flags Great Escape in Lake George, near where I'm from. And it was rounding, you know, my birthday. It was in June. This was when I was turning maybe 20 or 22, 23. I don't know. I was young and dumb, you know, young, dumb, and broke. And I couldn't afford a gosh darn ticket. So you know what I did? I broke in that bitch. I broke in there at night when it was closed with a group of pals. There were probably 10 of us, maybe a little more. It was raining, which was great because that meant we could go down the water slides without them running. That's right.
Living, man. L-I-V-I-N.
And then we went in the Lazy River. Someone broke a bottle in there. So that's what eventually got me caught and arrested later because there was glass broken at the bottom of this Lazy River. And someone found it and they had to drain it and get it out and close down the water park for that day. And this was June, right? So peak time, peak summertime. And they lost a lot of money, a lot of profit because of that. So I get it. I get why they hunted us down.
All this money in the banana stand.
You know, stole a bunch of Jamaican bananas, those little stuffed fun prize things because I would never win and I really wanted to. So I took them. If you can't win it, take it. And then we also climbed on the top of a roller coaster. Super dangerous. Would not recommend. But at the time, great fun. Drank some beers at the top of that. Walked down the tracks. We were actually in the clear for a couple weeks. No one knew. The only thing that gave us away was said broken bottle in the Lazy River, which started people to snitch. I won't say who did because I'm not going to snitch on a snitch, even though a snitch snitched. It's like Peter and his pickled peppers.
What is she even talking about?
But we did create a roadblock of all of the stolen prizes that we took in the prize box, like the Jamaican bananas. And there was like these big huskies, and huskies are my favorite dogs. So naturally I stole a couple of those, but we couldn't fit them in the car. Yeah, we were driving under the influence, but I actually think we had a sober friend that night, you know, like one of those weird kids in high school. They're like, I don't really drink. I just want to be like not a nerd and like be part of the fun. And so we had one of those and, we were trying to stuff all of these big stuffed animals in the trunk and they wouldn't fit. So, you know, naturally we set up a roadblock, with the animals all across this road, this back road. So I would have paid to see the driver going to work the next day that stumbled upon that scene. It was probably so freaking weird, and they didn't know what to do. I wonder if they got out, took them home for their kids, if they got out and, like, shoved them on the side of the road, if they drove through them. No one knows. And maybe after this we will know. But, yeah, so a couple things gave us away, and then the snitching. So, yeah, I got arrested, and I got a heads up, though, because my friend, one of my friends who was actually there that night, her cousin was a DA. So she gave me a heads up being like, yo, police are coming to your house. You're probably going to get taken in for questioning, blah, blah. And I was like, what are we on? Fucking SVU? What's happening? So I looked at my mom dead ass and was like, look, sheriff's going to come by probably, maybe a trooper. I don't know. And they're gonna take me in. And my mom was like,
better call Saul.
She was like cooking breakfast. I don't know what was happening in that apartment. But she was like, what? And I was like, yeah, it's not a big deal. I'll be back in a couple hours. And she was like, okay. That's how much pot my mom smokes. And so then the cop came, arrested me, and brought me down. And he was like, you want to, you know, do this the easy way, the hard way, a.k.a. you want to be cuffed or not? And I was like, well, if I'm getting arrested, I might as well just do it. Might as well go full balls to the wall. I don't plan on doing this again. So let me get the full experience. Cuff me up.
White.
So he did. And he thought I was being a smartass, which looking back, I definitely was. But, you know, I was 20, some early 20s. I don't fucking know. And he drove me to the station and then questioned me and got my fingerprints, got my mugshot. And I was being such a fuck. And I didn't even realize I was at the time. I was just being authentic. Okay. And they were like, they're taking the mugshot, and it was so awkward. And I was just like, do I smile? And he was like, well, are you proud of what you've done? And I was like, kind of. So I smiled. My mugshot is a smile. And I will seriously go back to Warren County and ask for that mugshot and make that the fucking cover of my special one day. I swear to God, I'll do it. excuse me. So, yeah, they asked me, God, I told you I was getting over a cold. See, my share karaoke wasn't a lie. All right, I'm usually better, I promise. But, yeah, so then I had to show up at court for the, it's not like there was a trial. I wasn't fucking OJ. Woo! I was guilty. I wore that glove. And they were like, they read your statement back to you. And I don't know if that's normal protocol in, like, arrests and, like, when you go to the court and, like, whatever. But they read your statement that you gave when you got, like, taken in. For questioning. They read it back to you. And it was so embarrassing because all of my friends were there and all my friends' parents were there. And the parents obviously did not think it was funny. They were very serious. They were very upset. Reputations were at stake, okay? This was a semi-small town that I grew up in, all right? This is like Desperate Housewives are pissed and we need to cover up the dead body.
Where were you last night?
The judge is reading the statement back and there was one part in it. It was like, I stole a husky. It was big. And my mom is sitting there, and she starts laughing. My sister's there. She starts laughing. Stephanie, she was on the podcast. She's a hoot. But, yeah, so that was my story of how have I ever broken the law. Yeah, yeah. Other things, I've done way worse things and not been caught, so I like that record. Next quish.
So you better check yourself.
Worst hangover. Worst hangover. Whew, God, I got to look through my freaking encyclopedia of hangovers. I have a thick book of those. Honestly, first one that comes to mind, I think, was my 30th birthday celebration in Mexico.
Why did you say it like that?
I was so fucking hungover, and actually, it's because I accidentally did meth. That's another story. But Methico is what we named the trip afterwards. This is true. I thought it was cocaine, but it turned out to be meth. And it was a language barrier. You know, it happens. I wouldn't normally do that, but I felt like the Hulk, I'll tell you that much. And I was a real local hero after a couple nights on that shit. But after that and all the drinking I was doing, obviously, you know, 30 is a big one, and I was really trying to forget. But now I've embraced it, but. Anyway, I the next day after doing said meth and drinking a lot of liquor, I had a fishing trip booked.
You're going to need a bigger boat.
Which I thought would be fun. Get out on the ocean, go on the boat with all my friends. I had like 6 or 7 friends with me. My mom came down, who was very fucking concerned after this whole thing. I think she honestly like wanted to send me to rehab. But I I won't go. I'm Amy Winehouse, but still alive. So I went on this fishing excursion, which happened at the worst time. There always is a great little thing planned in the morning after a really long night out. But we soldiered on. Me and two of my friends went, and there was supposed to be everyone, but it was just the three of us.
We're the three best friends that anyone could have.
And we went out there. The hangover of the drinks and I guess the meth withdrawal, I don't know, didn't hit me until we were in the middle of the fucking ocean. And I'm saying, like, miles out.
Well done!
Like, we were fucking up and down and up and down on the waves. And we're way far out. I can't even see the coast. Like, we were deep. We were deep sea fishing. That was not what was advertised. And we get out there, and all of a sudden, I do not feel good, probably from all the wumbo jumbo. And I'm throwing up overboard. They're taking pictures of me thinking it's hilarious. I thought it was funny, too, like, because I thought it was just going to be a regular hangover. I didn't know I was, you know, coming down from methamphetamine. And I'm vomiting over the side. The guy's, like, yelling at me in Spanish, trying to say, like, what to do and, like, to get up. And I'm like, I cannot fucking move. Honestly, push me overboard and I will drown and die and be happier than being on this fucking boat for one more minute.
Rock bottom.
Meanwhile, my two friends are, like, trying to, you know, savor the moment and try to have the experience that we paid for. And they're like fishing and they're reeling in big fish. There's blood and guts going everywhere as I'm vomiting. And like it was honestly, you couldn't write a worse fucking nightmare. And then we finally come back in, and the whole point of it was that they make like fresh ceviche with the fish that you caught, and they're making it, and we didn't even stay to eat it because I was like dying on the beach. I dug a hole in the sand and I was throwing up in the sand because there were families around me and I didn't want to disrupt their vacation. I was thinking of others while I was perishing. And then we take a golf cart back to our Airbnb. This is in Sayulito, beautiful town. I probably scarred it. Definitely not a lot back. And we get back to the place. My mom sees my face and she's like, "What is wrong with you? Just white, like no blood in my face.
Somebody better call an exorcist."
And then my friends banded together, paid for an IV, a service, you know, for them to come and hook me up to like get rid of this detriment that I brought upon myself. And I was not okay for, honestly, 30 hours probably. And that was when my actual birthday was that next day. So I was getting a million phone calls and texts, and I could not answer anyone. I was beside myself in this dark room with the AC on blast. And I was like, "Everyone enjoy the rest of your time. I'm going to die on my birthday." So that was my worst hangover. Yeah. And then last question, good timing there. I had to sip it up. Favorite Shawcast guest? Oh, that's fucked up. I can't pick a favorite. I do have my guest list written down. So let me look at the names. I'll go through them. So people who are listening, you can see who was on, and I'm going in order, so if you want to go back and watch it, whatever. First one that was on was Troy Bond, definitely not my favorite. Second, Bo Blue, great time, that was fun. Three, Corey Yoskowitz, we went to Buff together, he was fun. Four, Tori Cole, that was when she was sober, so no. Five, Riley Lassen, that was a really fun time. This is probably jogging some memories for you too, Rick, I know you're really feeling it over there. Six, Tommy O'Regan. O'Regan. I still don't know how to pronounce it. I forget. Seven, Matthew Benjamin. That was interesting. Eight, Liam Dalton. I love that little orphan Annie. He's great. That might be in my top. Molly Kornfeld. Amazing. Last guest on season one was Vanessa Jackson. She's freaking awesome. I just ran into her recently. I need to see her more. Season two started off with Joy Rinaldi. That was really fun. That was like our karaoke session. He might be my favorite so far just because I laughed so hard and sang so hard with him, and he's going to really eat that up, but I'm really not trying to be biased. Second one for season two was my sister, Stephanie Harrison. She can't be the favorite because she'll never shut up about it. Then it was Zach Gish, who I just talked about before. Brent Birnbaum, we love him. Tyler Gross, that was a great time. Kitty Reynolds, she's crushing it. And then I had Tori Cole back when she was not sober, so that was more fun because she got drunk, and I love Tori drunk. I love drunk Tori. She has a new podcast, by the way. People who are fans and follow her as well. She's a great gal. She's a funny gal. It's called Tori's Stupid Podcast. We actually talked about what it was going to be called on this podcast, and that's what she landed on, so I love her for it. After that, Spencer Cilio, and then last one before just me was Mike Figgs. So I guess I would have to say my favorite guest was me. I'm just fucking around. I think either Joey Rinaldi or Mike Figgs, only because they're such fuckheads and I had such a great time with them. And Brent was also really fun, but we have secret identities, so I can't pick him being the favorite. Honestly, my favorite might be Rick. Because he's the only one that made all these episodes possible. Yeah. And that's why we love it. All right. Well, I'm going to have my last sip here. We did it. High five to myself. That's going to... Yeah, thanks, Rick. That's going to wrap up season two of Shawcast. Season three will be starting...